We're announcing a new campaign on the National Baseball Podcast.
Chooch for All-Star.
This is the National Baseball Podcast. With your hosts, Peter Andrews and Shane Braid.
Yeah, the dude's hitting like, he has the highest on base percentage among catchers because Ivan Rodriguez doesn't qualify. And
he's coming up with big-time heroics for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm Peter Andrews, he's Shane Braid, and we're talking about Carlos Ruiz, Phillies catcher who is all of a sudden apparently destroying everyone. He's hitting .354 with a .481 on-base percentage.
If you click on him, will it tell you what his BABIP is?
I don't think it will.
All right, so that was cool. That would be something I would want to know. If I can find that, if somebody can find that information for me, get it to me.
I think the one thing
I'm sure I can find it if I actually try.
The thing that stands out is how many walks he's getting. That's not something you can fake. That shows he's really improved his pitch, his plate discipline. The reason we bring it up, on Monday, Phillies play the Rockies. Phillies win this one 9-5, thanks in large part to Ruiz's 4-for-5 night. He hits a home run in the sixth, solo home run, and then what is technically the game-winning run. It breaks a 5-5 tie in the ninth on a single that scores Ryan Howard. Then Ross Glode comes off the bench and hits a monster home run.
Monster home run that barely cleared defense. It was 391 feet, barely cleared defense. Pinch hitting for Wilson Valdez. I actually watched this game.
So you mean this is actually sending someone up who has a bat, right?
Yeah, as opposed to Wilson Valdez. And on the show, we are going to get to a lot of teams that we don't talk about a lot, but this game was really good for Monday, so we're breaking this one down. Yeah, Glode comes up off the bench, pinch hitting opportunity, and smacks a home run. Great pinch hitter, great pickup by the Phillies this year, Ross Glode. This game was back and forth all day. It wasn't just the monster ninth inning where the Phillies got some runs.
Yeah, and a lot of this has to do with the shakiness of our two starting pitchers. Cal Kendrick goes 6 innings, 10 base runners, 8 hits, 4 earned runs. For Greg Smith, he only got through 5 2/3 innings, allowed 8 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, walked 4. Both of these pitchers with ERAs floating in the 6 range, so you knew that this was not going to be a low-scoring outing. Add in the fact that it's cold and snowy in Colorado these days. Just a crazy game all around.
Yeah, crazy game. Fifth inning, the Rockies are up 4-3. Then Phillies get back after the Chooch homer ties it. And then Victorino scores on a wild pitch in the sixth inning, so it's 5-4. Jason Giambi, a key single, the seventh, ties it at 5. And then that's off Ricky Romero, so it's technically a blown.
JC Romero.
I was thinking Toronto. So it's technically a blown save. Danny Spies gets the win at buying pitch the eighth inning. He's now 1-1. Jose Contreras was in line for the save in this one. They had him warming up when it was a one-run lead. He comes in the ninth, no save because it's a four-run lead, but he would come in either way.
So Jose Contreras taking over as the temporary closer. Brad Lidge,
I think it's more of a fly-by-wire thing. I think this is totally up to Manuel's decision. It could be anybody any day.
Well, Brad Lidge has left the team to go back to Philly. He's having some elbow tightness, but the reason the reason I say Contreras, if you look at his stats this year, he's been nigh unhittable. The only earned run that he has allowed was walk-off home run to Nate McLouth, but he is a .77 ERA and a WHIP of .6 so far this year. Contreras,
his strikeout to walk ratio is huge. He has a lot of strikeouts this year. K per 9, I believe, over 11.
Jason Giambi, who's hitting .192 in the year, does get 3 hits and 3 ribbies in this game for the Rockies.
That's key. Well, another good game we went to break down for Monday. We're breaking down 2 and then covering scores. Tampa Bay Rays dropped to the LA Angels 5-4. This game was cool. The Angels are up 4-0 going into the 8th inning. Okay, they give up 1 to the Rays on a John Jaso RBI. So it's 4-1 going into the 9th. Willie Ibar hits a 382-foot shot, and it's now 4-2. Evan Longoria hits a 2-run double, and it's 4-4, so we play on. We go to the 11th, Juan Rivera sack fly, and the Angels win it.
Yeah, Kendry Morales scores the game-winning run in this one.
Walk-off sack fly. It's not sexy, but it's awesome.
This is the first time all year that Matt Garza's really not pitched incredibly studly. Allows 7 hits and 4 earned runs in 7 2/3 inning. Does strike out 7, victimized by the 2 home runs of Torii Hunter and Mike Napoli. The loss goes to everyone's favorite Aussie, Grant Balfour, who's 0-1. For the Angels, Joel Piñeiro, actually a good start in this one.
Yeah, 6 1/3, no earned, struck out 7, walked only 1. He had a very good start. Trevor Bell gets the win, he's 1-0, but it's kind of Brian Fuentes, of course, ERA now 7.04 with the blown save. Fernando Rodney's ERA is 2.87. He gave up the run in the eighth. Closer change?
Maybe. Balfour, a very good pitcher. Something I want to look at here, to just mention briefly. Not a good day for some random little statistics. 0-for-3 stolen base attempts for both teams. Gabe Kapler caught stealing, as was Kendry Morales and Eric Ibar. And then
he's been caught stealing four times. Eric Ibar has not been off to the best of starts.
Maybe that means he should stop attempting. Ibar hitting .246 on the year. And then fielding,
Peter totally lost it. Three errors in this game, two by Tampa, one by L.A. Home runs in this one, Torrey Hunter his fourth, Mike Napoli his second, Willie Ibar, as we mentioned, his third. A couple on other random notes, B.J. Upton, of course, you're hearing this, it's too late for this to help any of you, but his son is being born, or was born the other day, so he's going to has missed the entire Angels series in this one. Also, Tampa Bay versus the Angels in the last 27 games, 3-24 after Monday night's loss. And in their last 9 games, hitting .189, that would change starting Tuesday.
Is that all we have for this game? Sorry.
I believe that's all we have.
I am split attention. Here.
I have a couple things from the Phillies games. I have one more thing. Is key thing. What did you do, Peter? What are you doing?
The video started randomly.
Yeah, that was strange. You're doing
all
it
the
twice.
Videos are starting.
What
randomly.
Is going on?
No, not you.
Not 3-for-3. Yes. 3-for-3 with the
Peter, do you realize what someone listening to this must think of us?
If they're listening by now, wow. When Brad Hope returned in that Phillies game, he had a key error in the eighth. Basically,
awful error.
He one-handed the ball and went right out of his glove. That was pretty bad. 2-for-4 RBI walk and a strikeout. Shane Victorino had 2 triples, which is kind of odd. 3 walks and 3 runs scored. First Phillies with 2 triples in 1 game since Jimmy Rollins did it in 08.
And
Troy Tulowitzki, day-to-day, quad strain. He was definitely going to miss Tuesday's game. He was going to have an MRI. The MRI was negative, so he should be back today or tomorrow. They got doubleheader today because they didn't play yesterday because of rain.
I told you he's worth Angel Pagan and Kevin Correa.
Yeah, Peter wants to trade Angel Pagan and Kevin Correa for him. I don't think that's going to happen. Round the league on Monday, Peter.
American League, Tigers beat the Yankees 5-4. Johnny Damon hits the second home run of the year to victimize his old ball club. The win?
Eddie Bonon, he's now 3-0.
Sergio Mitre takes his first decision of the year. He's 0-1. And Jose Valverde, save number 9 in the ninth. Yankees down 5-2, but they score 2 in the eighth. Not enough. Mark Teixeira hits his 6th for the baseball Yankees.
Teixeira's hitting over .300 the month of May. Just saying. Dontrell Wills supposed to start this one. He was scratched with the flu. Brad Thomas instead gets the start. Look how that worked out. Pretty well, I'd say. Only 2 earned runs. Rick Porcello, who started yesterday, we'll have notes on him.
Red Sox 7, Blue Jays 6. Brandon Morrow just walk happy in this one. Red Sox score all 7 of their runs in the first 3 innings. John Lackey, not a great start, but he gets the win. He's 4-1. Morrow's 2-3, and John Papelbon, save number 9. Jose Bautista hits a home run for the Toronto Blue Jays, his 7th of the year.
This game is interesting. 4 runs for each team in the second inning. The first 2 innings of this game took like an hour and a half. I am not kidding you. It was like 8:20 by the time they moved to the third inning. It was incredibly long game. Reason why, Brandon Morrow walked 5 Red Sox batters in the second inning alone, 6 on the game. You can't do that.
Can't do that if you tried.
I could do it. Lackey, 6 earned in 6 innings, gave up 8 hits and walked 3. Very not good start for him. Josh Beckett's likely going to miss his next start. He has back spasm, so plan accordingly. Adam Lind, 0-for-5 in this one. J.D. Drew, day-to-day vertigo. Usually that means he only misses a day, though. He has had that problem before. Usually not that big of a deal for him.
Reds win a close one against the Pirates. It's 2-1. Bronson Arroyo, 7 good innings for Cincy. Is 2-2 on the year with the win. Ross Ohlendorf returning from the DL. He's 0-1.
Tough luck loss,
though. Yeah, definitely a tough luck loss. Save was Francisco Cordero's 11th, and Ronnie Cedeno hit homer number 3 for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that more. We're going to break that game down on Tuesday. Nationals 3, Mets 2. Back-to-back home runs for the Nationals. That's Adam Kennedy, his 2nd. Ryan Zimmerman, his 6th. Jose Atalano?
Luis
Atalano, the win. He's 3-0. John Main falls to 1-2 with the loss. Miguel Bautista, his first save. Mets score 1 in the bottom of the ninth. and the bottom of the seventh. Nats get one in the top of the eighth and two in the top of the third. Angel Pagan, his second homer for the Mets in that one. Pudge, 4-4, double RBI, stolen base.
Good to see the young man doing some good things. Marlins, 4, Cubs, 2. The Marlins win it. Even though Ted Lilly was making a run of no-hitter for like 5 innings. I guess we're kind of in no-hitter frenzy with Ubaldo and Dallas Braden, so people are looking for him even when they're not that epic. In this one, Nate Robertson improves to 3-3. Ted Lilly, the loss, he's 1-3. And Leo Nunez, save number 6. This isn't Ronnie Paulino. This is
Ronnie Paulino. Felipe Paulino is the pitcher for the
right. I'm getting Ronnie Paulino and Ronnie Cedeno confused with Felipe Paulino. Paulino, the catcher for Florida, hits his second of the year.
Second of the year. Braves 8, Brewers 2. 6 runs, 6 inning for Atlanta. That's your difference maker here. Tommy Hansen, 8 innings and 4 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, did not allow a run. He improves to 3-2. Doug Davis, of course, the loss. He's 1-4. Trey Gloss, his third homer. Martin Prado, his second. Casey McGee, his seventh for Milwaukee. Martin Prado, 5 RBIs in
this one. That's because that home run was a grand slam.
That's right. And Ryan Braun, day-to-day, he got hit in the elbow, but he left 3 innings later, so it's probably not that serious. He did not play yesterday. That was it from that day.
Let's talk about 3 games from a full slate on Tuesday. Start with Oakland and Texas. Texas loses this one. Both teams now 18-15. Just me or these teams play like every single day?
They do seem to play a lot, but this was a great game. If you look at how it broke down, go into the 7th inning and it's tied at 2. Eric Patterson hits a deep triple to score Eric Chavez, who I thought had retired because he's never healthy.
He's never healthy.
So it's 3-2 Oakland. We go to the 8th inning. Josh Hamilton hits a 440-foot home run to right center field. 2-run homer here. So now it's, conversely, now it's 4-3, Texas. Texas in the lead. We go the 9th inning. We're in Texas, so Oakland bats first. Landon Powell has an RBI single, ties it at 4, and then Cliff Pennington singles, and it's 5-4 Oakland. We go the bottom of the 9th inning. Andrew Bailey comes in. Elvis Andrus, quick single to center, and it's 5-5. Now it's even. So we go to the 11th inning. First blown save of the year for Bailey. 11th inning, Oakland. Derek Bartone, your boy, 361-foot homer, so Oakland's up 6-5 in the 11th, thinking, finally, it's over. No, it's not. We go to the bottom of the 11th. Actually, it's Brad Ziegler with the blown save in the 9th. Andrew Bailey comes on in the 11th. Julio Bourbon, who's been terrible all year, gets an RBI single, and the bottom of the 11th ties it at 6. We continue to play. We go to the 13th, Tariq Bartone, who had hit the homer earlier.
Where are you getting this Bartone?
I call it Bartone because Barton just sounds weird.
Barton.
Whatever. He gets the single, it's 7-6. Oakland holds on finally to get the win in 13 innings. Last out made by Julio Bourbon.
What a remarkable game. Lots of pitchers used in this one. 7 for Oakland, 7 for Texas. Shane, do the math.
That's 14.
Yeah, and between the two of them, 198 plus 208 is...
Wow. 406.
Pitches thrown in this one. Colby Lewis, 7 good innings for the Rangers. Only lost 3 runs.
Trevor Cahill, 5 2/3, give up 2. The loss goes to Dustin Nippert. He's 1-3. Neftali Feliz, a second blown save. As we mentioned, first blown saves each for Ziegler and Bailey. Not quite sure who that last guy is. Trevor Ross or whatever. I don't know.
Well, we'll look him up.
I'll find out. Tyson Ross. The win. He is 1-0. Other news from this Oakland game?
No, I like what I see. Obviously, Derek Barton, a big home run. As a soldier in the U.S.
Army, you can... You're having problems with these videos.
No, you're having problems with these videos.
All right, we're moving on. We're going to the National League. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh. Two teams we don't talk about a lot, but we're talking about them from Tuesday because Johnny Cueto throws a one-hitter against the Pirates. Pirates fall to 14-19, but they are ahead of the Cubs in the Central, just so I point that out. Ahead of the Cubs and the Astros. Reds are 18-15, only 2 games behind the Cardinals. Peter... Johnny Cueto, one hitter.
Johnny Cueto, a remarkable start, shutting down a potent Pirates lineup. Guys like...
And by potent, you mean...
Well, Andrew McCutchen didn't get a hit. That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's about it. Only hit from the Pirates coming from Ronnie Cedeno, who has proceeded to get caught stealing second base in the second inning. So.
Well, and no one reached base for the Pirates other than...
there were no walks. It was just Cedeno's single.
Wait, no, but they had one left on base, so...
There were 2. How's that possible? Find out.
That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it's an error on the website.
No, quality. That's impossible.
Quality production.
Well, he's only listed as having two at-bats here. I don't know how
maybe
that...
he got hit by a pitch because he didn't walk
maybe
anybody.
Maybe he got hit by a pitch. Yes.
Yes. He got hit by a pitch and hit a single. Solved. There we go. So caught stealing the second and hit by a pitch later.
So obviously Cueto a good start, but I also want to point out that the Reds just pounding the ball offensively in this one.
That's what happens when Charlie Morton starts.
Yeah, Jay Bruce 3-for-5 with 3 ribbies in this one. Joe
including Votto, a triple, which is the third triple for Jay Bruce this year. See that coming?
I did not. Joey Votto 2-for-4. Brandon Phillips 2-for-4 with 3 runs scored. And filling in for Drew Stubbs is center fielder Chris Heisley, who played pretty
there's
well
no
this
L.
one.
Chris Heisley.
Heisley.
Yes, it's his
name. There should be an L.
There should be an L. It would be better. He makes his major league debut in center field, goes 3-for-4, 2 ribbies, 2 runs scored. The ribbies coming on a home run in his first of the year.
How do you make his major league debut if he's in?
Well, this year. He's a rookie. Not this game, but he's a rookie.
Wow.
Coming from scouts that were watching Cincinnati Reds spring training, you would always hear they were looking at their prospects, Yonder Alonso, and you talk to scouts, they'd be like, what about Yonder Alonso? They'd say, yeah, he's good, but look at this Chris Heisley guy. I think he could be a little bit of a surprise here.
Could help the ball club.
Could help the ball club. Move on. We got the Mets and the Nationals. 8-6 game here. Mets score, what? 6 in the 8th inning.
This is absurdity on like 3 or 4 different levels here. The Nationals fall to 8-15. The Mets improve to 8-15.
18.
That's right. We got ourselves a barn burner here. So
problem is my boy screwed up with the 6 wins.
Who's? Oh, Tyler Clippard? He's 6-1 now. Why can't Tyler Clippard ever just like go out and pitch an inning? Why must he always get a decision?
He's 6-1 with 5 blown saves, which is absolutely absolutely incredible.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Gave up 3 in this one, end up being difference maker as the Nationals
go. At least he's taking the negative attention away from Brian Bruni.
Yeah, Nationals go into this one with a 6-2 lead in the 8th inning. Ike Davis reaches on the throwing error. Ian Desmond has not had a good start to the year, or a good year at all. He's not playing very well. Then, of course, on fire right now, Rod Barajas, a 2-run double. This is 6-5. Angel Pagan, your boy, singles, so now it's tied at 6. And then
boy, I'm trying to trade him.
Chris Carter, RBI double, 7-6. Jason Bay walks, and it's 8-6. Yeah, yeah, base load walk for Bay. It just gets ugly. Ramon Valdez gets the win. He's 1-0. K-Rod, his 5th save. We already mentioned Clippard, his first loss of the year. He's 6-1.
Adam Dunn did hit a big 3-run home run
on a 3-0 count.
Well, I mean, that's how Adam Dunn operates.
Yeah, you first inning, 3-0
never
count.
Never throw Adam Dunn a pitch to hit under any circumstances. Yeah. That's how you have to play.
Well, young pitcher for the Mets, Jonathan Neese, 3-0 count to Dunn. He's trying to locate a strike. He hadn't located it all at bat. Located it inside, and yeah, Adam Dunn said, get out.
Get out.
All right, now let's wrap up Tuesday.
Yeah, let's go
around.
We
spent a lot of time breaking down these games. Just saying.
That's good. I mean, it is good. The commitment that I had 1 minute from now has thankfully been moved, so we'll have a little more time on this. Mariners top the Orioles. That's right, call them the Orioles until they get 10 wins. Cliff Lee picks up his first win of the year as he leads the Mariners, at least 1-1, past David Hernandez and the Orioles. Hernandez is 0-5. Yeah. Brandon League, his first save. And
picked him up yesterday.
Ryan Langerhans. Wait, League or Hernandez?
League.
Langerhans hits his first home run of the year for Seattle.
Can we discuss this Ken Griffey Jr. situation?
Yeah.
So he kind of, he kind of
falls asleep in the clubhouse.
Okay, so there was a report out of the Seattle Mariners. One of the players says that he falls asleep during two players. That he falls asleep during a pinch hitting opportunity in the 8th inning a couple games ago. Now, Wakamatsu and Griffey have both blatantly denied that he was asleep during the 8th inning pinch hitting opportunity. However, when asked if he had fallen asleep at other point during the game, Griffey declined to comment. Therefore, that means he fell asleep during another part of the game. I don't really have a problem with this in the fact that he's sleeping. I don't really care. Here's the problem I have. This division, the locker room for a team that's not doing very good. Seattle, with the win, is 13-19 and in last place in the AL West. Orioles, of course, 9-24. We don't care. That's bad. But the Mariners, division in the locker room, I'm concerned about that.
I have two thoughts on this. One of which is, if Ken Griffey was really asleep during a pinch-hitting opportunity, they would have woken him up.
It wouldn't wake him up. And of course, he's hitting 205 with 5 RBIs.
It's not like he would have helped.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing is... they call the players only meeting today. Mike Sweeney, who's a real veteran, calls it, and I think that this might actually be a moment for the Mariners to kind of come together as a clubhouse, or it could be the beginning of the falling apart of their clubhouse, because a lot of it is, I think, this is a group of young guys who are not in awe of Griffey, and I think it's not a question of being in awe of Griffey, it's a question of helping the ball club.
Yeah, team cohesiveness. Moving on, the American League, Yankees and Tigers is postponed on Tuesday. It's doubleheaded today. Of course, that's going to be fun to watch all day, currently going on now. Red Sox 6, Blue Jays 1. Red Sox are 18-16, Blue Jays 19-16, so half game over the Red Sox there. Daisuke, no walks in this one, which is always what you want to see. Very good start, give up only one run in 7 innings and 3 hits, struck out 9. He improves to 2-1. Danny Evelyn falls to 3-2. Jason Veritek, his 6th home run. Peter, question for you. Can you name the top 5 teams in runs in the American League?
Yankees. There's going to be some trick thing.
After
like
this game,
like
so this should tell you something.
Like it's like Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, or something ridiculous like that.
And the Blue Jays are the top 4 in runs, and they're all in the AL East. And the Minnesota Twins are number 5.
That's because their pitching is all terrible.
There you go. But AL East, 4 of the 5 teams AL East are the top 4 in runs in the American League. Thought that was interesting.
Speaking of those Twinskies, they only score 2 against the White Sox as they fall at home. Bobby Jenks picks up save number 6. Freddie Garcia, 2-2. The win. Kevin Slowey falls to 4-3.
Drop Slowey tomorrow.
Chicago White Sox score 5 in the 5th. Justin Morneau does hit his 8th for Minnesota. Yeah. You know that really is not a trash can, right?
No, but I enjoy putting my notes there. Twins 21-12, very good team. White Sox 14-19, little bro work to do. Indians 8, Royals 2 on Tuesday. Russell Branyan, 2 home runs, his first 2 of the year, lifting the Indians to glory in this one.
Yes, Jake glory. West,
yes, glory at 12-18.
The glorious victory over the Royals. 11-22
yeah.
Royals.
Yeah, this is bad. Jake Westbrook, his first 1 of the year, he's 1-2. Brian Bannister falls to 1-3. Neither of these good teams. Rays and Angels, we talked about them on Monday. Here's your Tuesday game. 7-2 Rays as they come back in this one. Evan Longoria, home run, boom, number 8. Jeff Niemann, 3-0 now with the win, did not allow a run. Scott Kazmir falls at 2-3 with the loss. Angels 15-20, Rays 23-10. National League.
Yes, the National League. The Mets, we talked about the Mets.
We talked about the Pirates.
All right, so the Marlins top the Cubs 3-2.
We haven't talked about the Marlins or the Cubs. We might have to do that on the next show in depth.
Cubs fall to 14-20. It'll be an interesting examination of failure for the Chicago Cubs. Ricky Nolasco 3-2 as he handles the Cubs. Randy Wells falls to 3-2. Leo Nunez, save number 7. And Cody Ross, his 2nd. Gabby Sanchez, his 3rd for the Marlinskis.
Yeah, go.
Why are we going?
I wanted to mention that the Cubs are 14-20 and the Marlins are 16-17.
I mentioned that the Cubs are 14-20.
Oh, I wasn't listening to you.
Don't have to rub it in. All right. Yeah, right, you weren't listening.
Well, I always rub in Cubs failure. Braves and Brewers.
Just cruel.
Yeah, Braves and Brewers each at 15-18 after the Braves win 11-3 with 16 hits in this one on Tuesday. 16 hits, the Brewers 10 hits, all out hit fest. You might want to say that.
You could say that.
Yeah, all but 3 runs combined scored in from the 6th inning on. Tim Hudson, the win, he's 3-1. Dave Bush falls to 1-3. Troy Gloss, 4, number 4, home run. Brooks Conrad, his first of the year.
Brett Myers outdueled Brad Penny as the Astros top the Cardinals 6-3. Myers improves to 2-2. Brad Penny drops 3-3. Matt Lindstrom, his 7th save. Lance Bergman and his 3rd, and Hunter Pence, who's picking it up a little bit, hits his 4th for the Houston Astros. The Cardinals improved to 20-13. The Astros, 11-21.
After the Astros finally won. They hadn't won in, like, forever. All right, Phillies game yesterday gets rained out. It's doubleheader today.
It's supposed to be snowing.
Halliday's supposed to start in Colorado, where he's from, first time ever. That game's supposed to start in about a half hour from now? Yeah, it's almost snowing. We'll let you know. We might have a weird situation, because they already got 3 new home games. G20 Summit in Toronto during the Phillies series against the Blue Jays. So those games are now going to be played in Philadelphia. I don't think this is fair to Toronto. I think it's awesome because
really
I could probably get tickets to this. But not really fair then. It should be in a neutral
site, Boston, Detroit, Buffalo. I mean, it's like the two-time defending National League champions don't have enough don't have enough going for them other than having an all-star at every position.
Right.
You know?
If I would think the Mets and the Braves and the Marlins would be
I would be unhappy if I were the Mets or the Braves or the Nationals.
Yeah, I don't think that's really fair. And then, of course, you're going to have two. If it gets postponed today, you have two games to make up in Colorado. Let me know how that works. That might not be able to be doable, especially being so far west.
The stat that I want to mention, since the Phillies were eliminated by the Rockies in the 2007 NLDS, it's a good Rockies team. They are. Shane, what is their record against the Phillies?
Their record is what, 13-3?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Peter's going to answer his phone, so I'll continue on. Dodgers 13, Diamondbacks 3. Hello. John Eli, his first win for the Dodgers, he's 1-1. Dan Heron, the loss, he's 4-2. Struck out the first 9 batters he faced, and then gave up 2 runs in the fourth. Gets a loss as the Dodgers score 7. Top of the 8th inning, including Russell Martin, a 3-run homer, his 4th of the year. Diamondbacks lost 5 in a row, now 14-20. Dodgers are 16-17. Concluding on Tuesday night, Padres 3, Giants 2. Barry Zito, 7 walks in this one.
That's
Peter,
a lot of walks.
You're concerned about Barry Zito walking 7 as he drops to 5-1.
Drops to 5-1. That's how concerned I am about Barry Zito. I do like the win for the safer Heath Bell in this one.
Yeah. Who got the win in this one for the Padres? Some dude called Ryan Webb, who's pitched 3 2/3 innings this year, yet he's 1-1.
And we'll close the podcast with a human interest story here real quick. The Padres improved to 20-12, Giants fall 18-13.
Peter, reading my mind.
Tim Stouffer, because you're doing it for every game. It's called patterns.
Yes.
Tim Stouffer of the Padres wakes up in San Francisco on Tuesday, feels funny pain in his side, decides that he should check his iPhone, goes on the web, figures out that he has appendicitis, calls a trainer, says, I have appendicitis. And he's on the DL with appendicitis. Got the appendix taken out laparoscopically. Obviously, best of luck to him. As a someone who has been through the appendix removal procedure, I can say it's not that bad.
Eh.
I wouldn't need to go on the 15-day DL if I had my appendix removed.
I think you might.
I played football 3 days later.
Yeah, well.
And then my side hurt for two months.
And then Peter died. He was in a coma for 2 years. No. But Carlos Gomez on the DL for the Milwaukee Brewers. That just something popped in my head that I remembered.
Popped.
Boom. All right, speaking of pop, we're going to pop out of here. We're going to see you...
soon.
Not quite sure when.
One of these days.
In the near future. National Baseball Podcast at Facebook, SJUSXM at podomatic.com. And for anybody listening that also listens to the football portion of the show, we apologize for not having posted the NFC portion
of
the
apologize.
National Football Podcast. I'm going to say
we needed it.
Somebody
we needed
was in
a,
charge of
gap.
that.
We needed a gap. And so
there
I
were a couple.
A gap.
We apologize for the late posting despite having recorded it like a week and a half ago.
See ya.
We're out.